Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring East Tennesseans for over 55 years. From your home to the nursing home and everything in between, for a no-obligation, personalized quote, Bob Johnson Insurance can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888 RX for Stat.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
If President Trump makes good on his threat, God will make good on his promise, and it won't be good for us. Is the recent uptick in focusing on the Temple Mount good? China desperately wants to be involved in end times prophecy. We'll tell you what 178 House Democrats and Tucker Carlson have in common, and the increase in apostasy news is becoming more common as well. Well, don't be surprised. These are just the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, October 31st, 2025. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. Share them with your skeptical friends. You can even read the articles we talk about or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you simply visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who accidentally used dog shampoo today, and he's feeling like such a good boy. And that's Pastor Mark, who, before he entered the ministry, went for a job interview at FedEx, which he ended up late for because he went to the wrong address. Now, when he mentioned this in the interview, they hired him on the spot and made him the regional manager.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, that would make sense. I'd be chasing mailmen.
Yes, yeah. Especially with the dog shampoo.
That's what
yes,
I mean.
That's right, yes. I like how you melded both jokes together.
Wasn't that great?
Yes. Okay. Yes. This is no joke. We want to talk about one of the candidates for mayor in New York City and how this might tie in to Bible prophecy.
Yeah, it really does. This whole thing coming up with Mom Donnie in New York, I'm sure our listeners have all heard about this. We have, for the first time really in American history, an open socialist, and some say even really a communist, that's probably going to be the next mayor of New York. Now, New York historically and hysterically has always been very, very liberal. But this is really a new level to where you just, you know, it's like we've crossed over into this thing where you kind of could be a socialist secretly.
Mm.
And they've come out of the closet.
Right. Yeah.
And so now
they're out now.
That's right. That's right. They've removed the hijab. They're out of the closet. No more hiding this thing. Here we are. And you got a guy who's very, very anti-Israel, very anti-Jew, very anti-Christian, very pro-socialist. Some even say communist. Who's going to possibly win in the largest city. I assume New York is the largest city in America. That's right. And there's nothing really rivals New York as far as I know.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And so it really makes a statement about where we are as a nation. And it's really very scary for us as a nation. And really what we stand for and who we are. But what's interesting is, now I want to encourage our listeners and how, look, God uses everything. And you see these kind of things. I want you to begin to think prophetically, think spiritually, think biblically. Remember, if he wins, God allowed this to happen. I'm not saying God did it. I'm saying God allowed it. And we have to say, hey, why would God allow this to happen? What would be the purpose? Now, is it judgment on America? Is it judgment on New York City? Is it some other purpose that God is doing? You know, we think about, you look at Samson. And God not only allowed, he appointed Samson. And Samson was a very, very, really wicked man in many ways. A womanizer, very possibly involved with alcohol, as we see him around the vineyards a lot, although I couldn't really prove that biblically, and I wouldn't argue with anybody over that. But typically, those a lot of times, those go hand in hand. But either way, God used him for his purposes. And so I know that if God allows this man to win, he's going to use him for his purposes. And I'll tell you what really struck me about this whole thing, Greg, was the Bible says in the last days, God is going to gather the Jews, the nation, back to Israel. The Jews are going to be gathered back in the last days, and he's going to bring them back. And by the way, for all those that are doubting, are these the Jews and is God through the nation? Just look at Israel. He's doing what he said. God said in his word, in the last days, I'll bring them back. What's happening? God's, since 1948, bringing them back by the millions. But that's a whole other topic we may get to. But either way, so it also says, though, there's indications, there's some verses, Greg, one particular verse, I don't remember which one it is, but it indicates God kind of forcing them, putting more pressure on them to get them to go back. It's interesting. I think this is human nature. We would do this even as non-Jews, but you look at Jewish history. When they were taken captive by Babylon, brought out of the land, they were there for 70 years, and you know, Jeremiah said, hey, the 70 years is, a, I mean, not Jeremiah, Ezekiel, hey, the 70 years is about up. Jeremiah prophesied this, and here we are, and they began to go back, and the first, you know, group started going back. I think 50,000 or so at the first grouping went back, and it wasn't that many, but the reason that more didn't go back is, remember, it was like a lot of work. Israel, Jerusalem had been destroyed. It was rubble. It would be hard. It's like going, it's almost like the pioneering, you know, traveling across the country, heading west. You know, you had to go, I'm going to build a cabin, and I've got to build it before the winter comes and fight, you know, wild animals and be able to survive the cold winter and all that. Well, they were going back, not having to fight that kind of thing, but they were going back going, you know what, we're there in an area where we have to build our homes, get settled again, make a community, make a town. It's going to be hard. And so those that really had the call of God on their life and really said, we've got to go home and replant our nation, they went back. But a huge portion of the Jews, matter of fact, the majority of the Jews did not go back, if I'm not mistaken on the numbers. A huge portion did not go back. I'll leave it at that. And so it took a while. God kept kind of drawing them back and pushing back. And the reason they didn't, it was comfortable. Mm-hmm. They had a nice home. They'd been there 70 years.
Yeah.
They now had developed, they had jobs, they had homes, they were doing well. God was blessing them. He said, if you just, you know, come under Nebuchadnezzar, I've put him there, I'll bless you. They did it. And so he was blessing them. Well, it'd be like having a nice home, a good job, and suddenly somebody says, now move to another country that's not as good. That would be a hard decision to make. Now, if you even said today, you've got a nice home, a nice job. Now move somewhere else that maybe it is good there, but you got to start over. I mean, you better know we're supposed to do this. That's a hard thing. It's a big deal. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so, but they came back and they came back gradually. Well, then God began to drive them back because God created circumstances that pushed them back to the land. The same thing is happening in these days. In the last days, God said, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring back the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm going to reestablish you in the land. They are there now, some 10 to 11 million Jews back in the land. And God, but there's some that are living in other parts of the world and they're comfortable. We saw what began to happen. For example, in Europe, all the hatred of the Jews, they're comfortable living in these European nations. And all of a sudden the heat gets turned up. They're seeing swastikas again on walls and people hating Jews. So they're starting to move back. It's like, how much pressure can I take until I realize I may be in trouble? Cause you remember what happened in World War II. They held out too long and they got trapped in there and then they were put to death. So I think there's this kind of thing going, look, we learn from our experience. Let's get out of here. And some of them are already heading back, leaving Europe and moving back now to Israel. But if there's a place you feel comfortable and safe in the world, it's America. Because this has historically been one of the friendliest nations to Israel in world history. So you've got all these Jews living here. And the question has been for many years for me is, how do you get these Jews that are very comfortable? They don't know God. They don't believe in Bible prophecy. They're not looking at their Bible going, oh, we're supposed to go back to the land because of the last days. They're not doing that. They're not thinking about that at all. They're thinking about, hey, my 401k, where can I invest? Got a good business, you know, got a good discount. And they're living life and thriving. So to get them to go back, something's got to change. And maybe even something radical's got to change. Well, I look at one of the largest populations left in America of an area just centralized where Jews are, almost a million, is New York City. And they're comfortable. And they're wealthy. And they have been thriving for a long time, you know, for since really the founding of America, and especially since World War II, and more again moved here because of that. So they've been thriving and thriving. So why would they leave? I mean, you got great bagels, you know, great tradition.
Yes.
You know, I mean, all the things you need, it's right there. So I kept that. How would God drive them back? What kind of heat could God turn up on the Jews of New York City to get them to go home? And along comes Jihad Mamdani. I mean, you got this guy who is very, very Muslim, very anti-aggressive against Jew and Christian.
Or very aggressive.
Very aggressive, yeah. Very aggressive, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And he's going to make life... It's not. Here's the thing. It's not just him making... Because he doesn't like him making life hard on them. When your leader turns against a people group, people tend to just kind of follow that. You're going to see a greater... If he wins, trust me, and it's looking like he will... You're going to see a greater hostility toward the Jews in New York than you've probably ever seen in American history. Because it won't just be, hey, this guy doesn't like the Jews. He's going to make it hard on their regions, their whatever. Talk about them. There's going to be a psychological where people go, hey, here's our leader. He doesn't like him. We don't like you either. And, you know, it's just kind of this kind of really, I think it's going to get very abusive on the Jews. Now, if that begins to happen, Greg, this may be God using this election to drive the children of Israel back to their homeland in the last days. So don't be surprised if you see a large chunk, the Jewish people of those million or so that are left, almost a million, being driven back. Some maybe right off the bat being driven out of there. Others maybe drive, maybe going somewhere else, running down to New York or, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, running down to Florida or wherever else. They go to other places they can kind of keep their lifestyle and their businesses going. But I think you're going to see as the heat turns up on the Jews, they're going to be driven more back to the land. And I personally believe that Mamdani may be used by the Lord, not I'm saying that God wanted him there, but allowed to drive the Jews back to the land of Israel. So although it's going to be horrible for America, although it's going to be horrible for New York, this could be very well God could take, you know, ashes and make beauty out of it by getting the Jews back to where they're supposed to be, back in their homeland, getting ready in the last days to pour out his spirit on the 12 tribes of Israel and this whole revival that the Bible talks about in Daniel and Revelation taking place. So I see this, yes, as something like, oh my goodness, but at the same time, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there is yeah. there's a silver lining to prophecy and end times events with Mamdani getting elected. So kind of an odd, different viewpoint maybe for most people. But again, you know, when we look at the Bible, we see some very encouraging things here that God could use in a great way.
All right, well, let's take a look at some discouraging news. This our first article in our Israel category comes from Breitbart.com, dated October 23rd. And I think, Pastor Mark, you might have talked about this a little bit last week, but we'll spend some more time on this. President Trump says that Israel would lose all of its support from the U.S. if it annexed Judea and Samaria.
Yeah, I do want to talk about this because we're going to, again, give another biblical mini teaching here on the nation of Israel. I think it's so important because of other articles reading about where the next generation is going. We've got to start investing in people again about the nation of Israel and what God says in his word. But this is concerning to me because, again, Genesis 12:3, God will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. And by the way, I'm just going to say it right off the bat because you're here. Some of you guys may be listening and saying, yeah, but that doesn't mean that. It's talking about Abraham. You're wrong. I don't care what you've heard out there. Go read it in context. One of the first principles of hermeneutics is context. Hermeneutics is the scientific interpretation of the Bible. One of the first principles of the scientific interpretation of the Bible is context. And when you go and read it, he goes, I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And you will be a blessing to all nations, not just your family, not just Sarah. Not just your children, not just them, no, everyone, everyone, everyone. What? That's my wife. Anyway, so again, you learn to look in context because you're going to miss it. And again, he says, I'll bless those who bless the nation of Israel, I'll curse those who curse the nation of Israel. That's the context. And then if we go against Israel and our president goes against Israel, we're in big trouble. But look what he says. Israel will lose all of its support from the United States if it annexed Judea and Samaria. That's if it took the land God gave them. They lose all their support from me. Whoa, said the president on Thursday. Now, before I read the rest of this, let me give some balance to this. I don't necessarily believe the president's against Israel. I don't think he's even against Israel having that land. I think he's playing politics. He went to all these Muslim nations and said, I give you a guarantee. They're not going to annex that. You just come with me and join me on this Gaza peace deal, And that's what he said. He said, I told them. So I think at this point, it's more of a, no, you can't do that because you're going to break the deal that we made. I don't think the president is anti-Israel. Now, if I believed he was anti-Israel, I'd say we're doomed. Because God's going to start to curse America. But I don't believe that. But I do think I am concerned because he still is standing in the way of God. He doesn't have the right to say to those Muslim nations or anyone else, we're not going to give that to Israel. Because he can't give it to Israel. America can't give it to Israel. Israel can't give it to Israel. You know who gave it to Israel? God. God says, it's my land. I'm the landlord. I own it. It's mine. I choose to let them be the occupants. And so you can't, it'd be like if you're, you know, if my girls wanted to live in my home. We moved away. They wanted to live in my home. I said, girls, you can live in my home. And somebody walks up and they say, y'all can't live there. We're kicking you out. We're going to live there. No, you have no right to tell my kids they can't live in my home. I gave that home to them to live in. So when President Trump says, no, you can't live there, he's going to somebody else's home, God's home, and saying, you know what? God's kids can't live in his home because I made a deal with somebody else. I'm sorry. You're in big trouble, Mr. President, if you hold to that case. I'm concerned about our nation. I'm not against the president. I'm not trying to speak bad about the president. We need to pray for our president. And he's doing a lot of great things for our nation. You know, whether you like his personality or not, he's doing a lot of great things for our nation. But at the same time, you don't step into God's realm and start playing God where only God can be God. Trump was responding to a controversial bill pushed by the right-wing opposition members of the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, that would annex the disputed territory response to Palestinian terror. Again, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, who favors the Jewish settlement of the territory, said he believes that it shouldn't happen. It was part of the ceasefire deal. So he's not pushing it either because he realizes right now we've got a political thing going on here. As Breitbart News reported earlier Thursday, Netanyahu came out in strong opposition to the bill. Blasting members. They use such big adjectives, don't they?
They do.
Have you ever noticed when somebody says something against, I've noticed this, watch the news, they'll say something like, blasts this comment. I go and watch it, and he's kind of like, you know, I don't think I like that. He didn't blast it. Just, anyway, I'm sorry.
They always use the word controversial.
Just to warn our listeners. I'm already like one of those sentences in English that has all those things going off in all directions. That's where I am today, but I will come back to the main root. Blasting members of the opposition for introducing it as a provocation during the visit of Vice President J.D. Vance. It won't happen. It won't happen, Trump told, referring to the annexation. It won't happen because I gave my word to the Arab countries. You know, God's word doesn't really matter. Now, again, he doesn't know.
Well, and it doesn't even sound like he coordinated this with Netanyahu either.
He didn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't know God's word. He doesn't respect God's word the way we do because he admitted he's not a Christian. But it's scary for me to hear him say, I gave my word they won't have that land. It's like, your word doesn't matter on this, Mr. President. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't. I'm sorry. It's not your word that I'm looking to. Listen, again, I love our president and I respect him. I'm not at all against the president, nor am I attacking him. I'm simply saying, this is where you know, think of Greg. Remember, Hezekiah was a great king. He reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. One of the greatest kings of just, everybody loved him. They loved Hezekiah. And so Uzziah. Yeah. Anyway, they loved him. He goes in. Remember, he got too prideful. And he went into territory that only God or God's people can go into. He went into the holy place. He walked into the temple and he went into the holy place. The priest freaked out and said, no, I don't care if you're the king or not. And we're just priests. You stop right there. This is God territory. You can't cross this line. And he was struck with leprosy and they rushed him out. And then he was done. Listen, if our president pushes this thing about the land of Israel, God will deal with him. And in some form and fashion, God will deal with him. It happens every time, and so it's a warning, not that the president would ever hear this or heed my warning, but this is something I would say to us as a nation, be praying that our president doesn't go this way, because you don't fear where angels fear to tread, as they say. This is a place where angels even fear to tread, and he's walking in boldly because he doesn't know any better. It's almost like you're in an area that you don't realize is something supernaturally protected, and you're making your opinions on it. I would say for him, my counsel would be, stay out of it. You know, it's like, look, these nations, I would say, I'm sorry I made this deal with you. I can't tell you what's going to happen in that part of the world. He's done it now. He's a politician. He made the commitment. How you get out of it, I don't know. But the bottom line is, he says to them, you can't do that right now. Well, that's up to God, not him. We've had great Arab support. It won't happen because I gave my word to the Arab countries. Well, God gave his word to the children of Israel. It will not happen. Oh, it will happen. It will. Maybe not in this until the millennial kingdom, but it will happen because God said so. Israel would lose all of its support from the United States if that happened. Yeah, but you know what? Look, Israel doesn't need the support of the United States. Israel needs the support of God Almighty and His holy, eternal word. Now, I just went on a rant and rave. It's not even a rant and rave Friday, but I went on a rant and rave.
Well, it's Halloween, so. We're talking about some scary stuff.
It is scary, but let me just make this point. I want all listeners to know this. I have not turned on our president. I'm praying for our president. He's doing great things for our nation. Again, doesn't matter where you fall on, whether you like him or not like his personality. He's doing great things for our nation. He's doing all kinds of things. He's making us safer. He's doing things. There's good things happening. I'm just speaking now as a pastor when it comes to the areas of God Almighty, and that's an area where his authority stops. It stops right there. And as odd as this sounds, every pastor in this nation has more authority on this right here than the president of the United States. If in God's economy, the president is here and he stops, and then now the pastors come in and they have greater authority when it comes to heavenly things, when you're talking about the Bible and Israel and heaven. I'm not talking about rulership, passing bills, stopping wars. I'm saying this is holy ground that he needs to be very careful. And I hope that he has people around him saying, Mr. President, I know you don't understand this and maybe not believe it, but you've got to tread very carefully in this area because this is God territory. And so I hope he's got bold men around him that know God and walk in that position that'll tell him the truth. And yes, I support the president. I love the president. I'm praying for the president. And so just understand my heart on this. I'm just speaking of this line drawn here where the king can't walk into the holy place and start telling the priest what they need to do with what God's word says. That's my concern.
All right, Pastor Mark, our next article comes from Israel National News, dated October 26th. A White House reporter has said, let's put the Temple Mount on the table.
Well, now, how silly. It could never fit on a table. This thing was, I forget how big. It was something like how many feet long, Greg, and how many feet wide? And
it's so huge.
Yeah, so yeah. It couldn't fit on a table. So, okay, next article.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. No. I'm trying to be silly. You're supposed to say, no, Mark, it doesn't mean a real table. It means, and I go, oh, okay. All right. Oh, no, you're right. Okay, well, let's look at the article.
Yes.
This is amazing, actually.
This is, when you look at things to look for end times prophecy,
yes,
to get really excited about,
yes,
when the Temple Mount starts coming into view and the increased interest in the Temple Mount,
yes,
that tells us we're that much closer to the very end, because one of the hallmark things of the Antichrist that no other world leader has ever been able to claim is to bring peace to the Temple Mount. God's going to allow him to do that, but there's got to be such strife,
yes,
happening,
yes,
to bring that to,
yes,
the table.
Yes, I get this. And all you Israel doubters, okay,
yes,
listen, the Bible says in the last days, God will bring back the nation of Israel and they will build their temple. Look at what's happening. If you don't believe it, look at the facts. God is doing what he said. He's bringing the Jews back. They're talking now about building the third temple. If you don't believe because of all these crazy conservative pundits out there that are talking you down about it, which we'll talk about a little bit later, then look at the facts. Forget what they're saying. Just look at the facts. They're back in the land. He's driving them back in the land. Probably use Mom Donnie to drive somewhere back in the land. Now they're talking about the Temple Mount being built back in the land. If you don't see this, you are truly blind, and it's time to rip their blinders off your eyes and say, God, open my eyes to see the truth. How any Christian could not see this is beyond me. But this is amazing because the Bible says in the last days, the third temple will be rebuilt. It's going to be the Antichrist who's the one that makes this thing happen. Greg, I was shocked the other day. I was watching. I think I may have mentioned it on the broadcast. I think I said it to you, but a couple of weeks ago, some person there in the White House press briefing room, just out of the blue, so what about the third temple? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard that now, in my life.
Is this the same reporter that we're talking about in this story?
I'll bet it is.
Okay.
I didn't see his name. I just saw the video.
Gotcha.
But this was a Jewish guy.
Oh, okay.
This doesn't sound Jewish. Is
okay.
Turks a Jewish name? Turks?
I don't know.
T-U-R-X? I don't know. Either way, the point is, I was like, where'd that come from? It's almost like, do you remember back when the whole Russia thing with President, I remember all of a sudden in one of the campaign things, Hillary Clinton just out of the blue said, and Russia, and President Trump was like, what? It's just out of the blue. You could tell something was going on behind the scenes. And of course, this whole thing blew up that we had for a spin, right?
Yeah.
This was the same feeling. It was like the third temple. And Israel thought, wait a minute. I mean, what's going on, Greg, behind the scenes? Did President Trump make some kind of promise to both sides? They can't have that land, but you may get the Temple Mount. If you give them Judea and Samaria, we'll give you the Temple. I mean, I've been speculating that this would be a negotiating.
Yes.
I'm wondering if maybe some talk has not already begun down that road of saying, here's why you can't have that land, because we're going to give that to the Palestinians. And here's, and now bring up the Temple stuff, because you know what? Let's put it all on the table. Let's get it out there. Let's talk about it. And I'm telling you guys, you're watching prophecy be fulfilled before your very eyes. White House reporter Jake Turk says a solution to disarming Hamas is to put the Temple Mount on the table. Says the terror group doesn't care about anything else. Jewish White House reporter Turks responded to the discourse regarding whether U.S. President Trump would rebuild the Holy Temple. Now, again, he's not going to build it. The Antichrist is. But I think that once Trump's out of the way, the next guy to rule the world, I don't know. The Antichrist is on the scene. I'll put it that way. He's somewhere, I believe. Speaking to Belaz, Turk explained, if there's one thing Trump understands, it's leverage. The problem is he couldn't figure out how to get the leverage over Hamas. In his opinion, the solution is very simple. To tell Hamas terror group that if they won't disarm, control of the Temple Mount will be transferred solely to the Jews. So he's not talking about him building the temple as much as giving the Temple Mount over. Again, I told you this has got to come into the conversation at some point. It's happening, guys. Wake up. You're walking in the Bible. You should, when you take steps today, you should hear the rustling of pages. You should, as you go fast, pages turn. They're flipping because you're walking in the Bible. He says they don't care about kids. They'll sacrifice everybody. But the one thing they'll not sacrifice is the Temple Mount. I'm not saying let's go up and build the temple. I'm saying let's put the temple on the table. And if that doesn't work and Hamas doesn't disarm, then we'll have to figure out about building the temple. So he said, either way, we'll start to do it. The goal is to get it done.
Yeah.
But for now, let's just use it as leverage. Last week, a Jewish White House reporter, here it is. This is the one I was talking about. Press Secretary Karen Levitt was asked if President Trump was considering. So it is a different guy, because this is a Jewish White House reporter asking her if they're considering building the third temple. Levitt responded that the matter had not come up in any of the meetings held on President Trump's construction projects. That she didn't say nobody had ever talked about it. Notice how they word things. It's never come up in any of the meetings held on his construction projects. You got to read between the lines here.
You got to pay attention to the details.
Yes. You know, what was Rush Limbaugh? You say you got to read the stitches on a fastball. You got to be able to. Trump has recently announced several planned historic construction projects, including the creation of a ceremonial ark. Did I tell you about the ark?
No.
Oh, you got to look this up. He wants to build this Roman-looking ark right there near the Capitol in that big grass area. Like in Rome, you know, they have these big arches when they have victories?
Yeah, I think you mentioned that, but it's been several weeks, but yes.
I think he's wanting to build a Trump arch or something. You know, I'll stop all these wars. I don't show them. I mean, I'm serious. I mean,
Trump
like
Day Ark.
Revive, there you go. Revive Roman Empire?
I know. And he doesn't even know this.
No, he doesn't know it. But again, this could be, again, ceremonial ark in Washington, replacing the east wing of the White House in the ballroom. This whole thing, there's a real Romanesque feel happening to the world through Trump. Everything's gold.
Yes.
Everything's gold. You know, and that's how Rome was. Yep. There's all this big gold ballroom he's building.
Yep.
The ark now, the Roman ark. I'm not saying that the Antichrist is going to rise up out of America. I'm just saying you're seeing the world get ready for a revived Roman Empire. It's starting to look and sound and feel like Rome again.
Yeah.
It's really just bizarre, but exciting.
Yeah.
Prophetically.
Yes.
Remember, if you don't know the Lord, it's probably you don't know what's going on. But if you know the Lord, you shouldn't be afraid. This is the time to get excited because we're watching prophecy happen. Remember, it's sticking to the bottom of your little barefoot feet as you walk. And you're, I shouldn't put that image because we never put our feet on the Bible. Let me change that imagery. You're walking in the days of the Bible, but the Bible is above you like a nice fan, giving you the word and feeding you God's word. So that's better imagery. All right.
Well, now here's another article that's as equally as divisive as building the Temple Mount. And that is Tenney introduces a House motion calling for Jews and Christians to be allowed to pray on the Temple Mount.
Well, you know, I know what they're doing. I know this is great for Claudia Tenney to do this, but Christians and Jews are already doing that. I've prayed up there numerous times.
Legally or openly. Let's put this way, openly.
Yeah, you can't. You're not supposed to pray or take a Bible up there.
Yes.
And you know, Greg, I've shared this with you, but our listeners, I'll share with. It may have been my first trip to Israel. I don't know. I was so excited to be on the Temple Mount. I didn't know you couldn't take your Bible. And I had a medium-sized Bible, smaller, maybe about the size of a sandwich.
Yeah.
And I had it in my pocket. Maybe it was thinner, a little thinner than a sandwich. You know, you had a folded sandwich maybe. Mm-hmm. In my back pocket.
It was a Reuben.
I got up there and took it out and started doing Revelation study. I'm sitting there, you're reading it, you know, and talking about Revelation, reading it out loud and looking at everything. And I'm noticing, and I don't remember if I was sharing with anybody else or not in our group or just me, but there's this guy, there was this Muslim guy pacing back and forth, just really panicked looking, just back and forth, not far from me. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with this guy? He's kind of weird. You know, like, he's like going to do something? I didn't realize what I was doing was against their law up there, number one. And again, the spiritual battle.
Yeah.
The word of God on the Temple Mount. And I'm up there reading it. This guy's going nuts. I mean, you know, he didn't attack me. Nothing happened. They didn't kick me off the Temple Mount. Now that I look back, I go, could have all happened.
They could have, yeah.
Yeah, headlines. You know, small Calvary Chapel pastor starts World War III, Temple Mount, you know, and people are shooting missiles back and forth. I just took a tour. That's all I was doing. I wasn't trying to shoot missiles.
Let's see what a large war such a tiny member sparks.
Yeah, we weren't up there very long. Just a 3-hour tour, a 3-hour tour. The scripture started getting rough. The Muslim felt he's lost. I'm sorry.
And Pastor Mark's on the Temple Mount, and he gets tossed. Yes.
We have to remember the article now. This is about introducing the motion for Jews to pray on the Temple Mount and Christians. Claude Tenney, a Republican in New York, introduced a House resolution on Tuesday that affirms Israeli sovereignty over the Temple Mount and calls for equal access and religious freedom for Christians, Muslims, and Jewish people at one of the world's most sacred sites. The resolution recognizes the Temple Mount as the holiest site in Judaism and revered place for all three Abrahamic faiths, and reaffirms that Jerusalem is the undivided capital of Israel, and calls for the protection of the right of all people to worship freely and peacefully. Now, again, a congresswoman, way to go. I'm thrilled with her, but I wonder what kind of power a congresswoman in America is going to have on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. She noted that Jews have an enduring bond of more than 3,000 years tying them to Israel, and that the archaeological and historical evidence confirms that connection, and it does. It's undeniable. It's undeniable by the evidence. Yet there have been repeated international efforts to downplay Jewish ties to Jerusalem and restrict access to the Temple Mount. Again, it's amazing. I was just hearing today, they finally opened up, Greg. They used to have what they called the Pilgrim's Way. You'd go down to the bottom of the city of David when you went to town. Jesus went up this numerous times with his disciples. You go to the bottom of the city of David, and it works all the way up through the city of David, for those of you that haven't been there, up toward the Temple Mount, and you walk up what they call the Pilgrim's Road. And had this road there that went all the way up through there. It's where when they would go down and get the water from the Pool of Siloam and the ceremonies and bring it back up and pour it out on the Temple Mount, you know, to celebrate the water being poured out by God, the wilderness. Anyway, that road, it's been covered up by houses and all that kind of stuff. Well, they fixed it. It's still underneath, but it's a tunnel now. And it's now open to the public. You can walk up that ancient road that Jesus went up. That everybody, when they came, that they would walk up that way. They would bring their sheep in. They'd carry the sheep up that way. They'd bring it up to the temple and offer it to the priest and all this. That's being uncovered again. And so you can go in there. There's so much archaeological proof, evidence, and all these things that are happening. They think they even found what they call Melchizedek's temple, which they believe is where Abraham met with Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, that whole thing, they think they found it. And they have archaeological evidence, they believe, that ties it to that. So it's just amazing that happened there at Jerusalem, if that's the case, which is really, really cool.
Yes.
Because he was coming back from the northern part, and they're heading back down toward where he was in the southern part. Anyway, you see God's hand in all this stuff.
All of it.
Yeah. So my point is that when you see this kind of thing happening where they're talking about being back on the Temple Mount and praying, they're talking about building the Temple Mount, all the new excavations they're finding in Israel, it's coming to a head. God is making it so obvious that he's God and the truth is the word of God that no one will be with excuse. Without, you know, you stand before God, you're not going to have an excuse.
Yeah.
You are without excuse. And so very exciting.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 387, which is more trustworthy than a man faking his own death to see who shows up at his funeral. And now,
you've got me.
We only have one listener question this week, Pastor Mark, and it comes from Mike enjoying Signs of the Times in Knoxville. His question is regarding Psalm 83. He says, I have recently watched a Chuck Missler YouTube from probably the late 80s titled Ezekiel 37 and 38 Alternate View. He presented some interesting ideas from Psalm 83 and did a dive on the players there and who they are today. I understand that most commentators view this as past events, but as I began to drill down, something interesting popped up. Philistia in verse 7 is used 8 times, and one time it's translated as Palestine. I just thought it was curious and wanted your thoughts on this.
First of all, Delgado, what a great name. I love your name. That last name's really great. So anyway, Mike, thank you for the question. Some names are just fun to say. That's a great fun name to say. I'm very familiar with this. Let me first of all say I would never pit myself against Chuck Missler. Chuck is you know, one of the intellectuals in Christianity of my generation, before my generation and continuing on. This guy was amazing. I love Chuck Missler. And I'm aware that he has this viewpoint on this. I've actually seen the particular video you're talking about. But I disagree with him on this one. And the reason I'll say that is I wouldn't... first of all, let me talk about the word there, Palestine. Then we'll talk about why I disagree with Chuck on this one. The fact that it's translated Palestine in one place and Philistia in others, it's still the same word. It's the same root word. In other words, it's just Philistine is where the root word comes from. It's Philistines. So Philistine is Palestine. So really what it's saying is through that whole thing, no matter whether it's translated Philistia or Philistine or Palestine, it's the same thing, same root word. So he's not changing it by using it different in that one particular place. It's just saying, no, these are the Philistines. So we just established, first of all, it's just the Philistines. Why the editors are translated that way in that particular version, I don't know. You'll probably see it different in different versions. So I don't think that's really that significant. However, because he does say all those passages there in Psalm 83 about the Philistines, I do believe this is past tense. I do not believe it's future. Some people look at it as what's happening now with the nations surrounding them. Yes, all the nations will, and some of the nations that surrounded them will be surrounding again in the last days because it's still the same regions. So don't be surprised if some of the same regions are named at different times in history because the same peoples from those regions will come against Israel. But I don't think that, I believe Psalm 83 has already passed. It's already been completed because it talks so much about the Philistines being involved in the attack and coming against Israel. And there are no more Philistines. All the genetically, DNA, the Philistines have all died out. And so they don't even exist. So it's impossible for Philistines now to come against the nation of Israel. It biblically can't happen. You say, but yeah, but now that today they're the Palestinians. No, they're not. Philistine is the name Palestine. But if you do a DNA check, they're not Palestinians. Matter of fact, the people that are Philistines, the people that say they're Palestinians, they're from all different backgrounds around the world.
Arab descent, what we would say, they're Edomites. Some of them might be Edomites.
Some of them are Edomites. Some of them, believe it or not, they've now DNA'd. Some of the people in Lebanon are Canaanites, ancient Canaanites that were driven up to Lebanon. They're literally.
Which is when they were originally driven out of the land.
Yes,
wow.
Yeah, and they were driven north. So again, okay. DNA is ruling a lot of things, you know. And so again, I don't think there's anything, you know, heavy there, major there on that. I think it's been fulfilled and been done like that. And again, the DNA testing has really opened up a lot of doors for a lot of interesting things. I think I'm the only one that ever failed, you know, my DNA test. I've never been good at studying, and but I may try it again later. I'm studying again. I'm gonna look at it, maybe try it again. But I failed the first time. So
okay, well, we'll get you some tutoring on that, Pastor Mark. Mike, nevertheless, Mike, thanks for your question. If you've got a question like Mike does, then just visit our website at thewaymedia.net and click on the Signs of the Times link, and you'll see where you can ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question, as well as read our frequently asked questions. We are looking for Ezekiel 38 and 39, and so is China. This is from the Jerusalem Post, dated October 29th. China and Iran are collaborating to defy UN nuclear sanctions. Yeah. Well, the mystery of lawlessness continues.
Yeah, they're just doing it. They're just helping them rebuild their nuclear weapons. They said, we're not a part of it. We covered an article about that last week. But again, Iran's rebuilding their ballistic missile manufacturing capabilities with the aid of China, despite guidance of the United Nations. Not to do so. In late September, the United Nations reimposed the snapback sanctions, not to be confused with that whack of the towel that makes the red place, aiming to halt and prevent any Iranian operations related to creating weapons with nuclear capabilities.
Yes.
CNN, citing European intelligence sources, reported that in late October, Iran received shipments containing over 2,000 tons of sodium perchlorate. Am I saying that right? Perchlorate, I think so. A so-called dual-use material that can be used for innocent purposes, or as a key ingredient in the production of ammonium perchlorate.
Perchlorate.
Yeah,
whatever.
Either.
You can tell we're scientists.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. It is suspected that Iran is attempting... No, it's suspected. It is, but they're doing it.
That Iran
is attempting to replenish what was destroyed and expand from the 12-day war in July. Again, they're trying to rebuild. They want to get a nuclear weapon so they can say, we have a nuclear weapon, we're going to blow everybody up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of what they want to do. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. And you see China, again, linking up. And remember, this is that strange not strange relationship, I guess expected, but you have China, Russia, and Iran all linked together. I expect that because they're all like ungodly nations being led by the spirit of Antichrist and all that. But with that said, you see Iran and Russia, you don't see China. I think China's just going to, something's going to happen to keep them out of the loop until later. But the, be watching for somehow China to be neutralized from this situation. Not destroyed as a nation, I'm not saying that, but somehow, Greg, they've got to be kind of brought out of this because they're not a part of this invasion in Ezekiel 30 and 39. Now, maybe they're there and they don't do anything.
Maybe they're a supplier, you know, of arms or, you know, weaponry or resources or whatever. You know, it's kind of like...
But like all the equipment says made in China.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Ezekiel 38 and 39 sponsored by China.
That's right.
And President Xi.
Yes, that's right. We'll shoot from here. Xi Jinping!
Yes. Oh my. We're going to come back to America.
We are. Here we are.
Israel 365 News has an article dated October 29th titled 178 House Democrats Did the Unthinkable by Siding Against Jewish Families. I'm sorry. I think anything that that party's doing nowadays is thinkable.
It really is.
It really is.
So far off. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat listening to the broadcast.
They've gone so far
off the edge. I don't even think, again, the former Democrats wouldn't even recognize the party. It's so changed. But anyway, it says 178 of them signed a letter on September 25th to Prime Minister Netanyahu opposing any Israel move to annex territory in the West Bank. Now, we just talked about that, but they say, look, a future Palestinian Arab state in Judea and Samaria, as envisioned by the Palestinian Authority, is now tactically endorsed by much of the Democratic Party, would be as Saudi Arabia is today. The PA leader, Mahmoud Abbas, has repeatedly insisted that not a single Israeli or Jew would be allowed to remain in the future Palestine. And I read that wrong. But the bottom line is they're saying, look, if they did it the way they're talking about, they'd kick all the Jews out.
Yes.
So saying if you let them do this, they're going to kick all the Jews out. It's going to be no different than it was, in other times in history where the Jews just get kicked out. It says this is the same Abbas who wrote in his 1982 doctoral thesis, The Secret Relationship Between Nazism and Zionism, and who has questioned the legitimacy of the Holocaust. The letter of these 178 House Democrats sent does not promote peace. It promotes erasure. So again, whether they realize what they're doing, they're fighting against God as a mass in party, saying we don't care what God said, that God's going to give them the land. Remember, God promised the land to Israel. And this is where man can't get involved in this. This belongs to God. This is his right, not any politician's right. And they basically said, God, we don't care. We're going to say you can't do it. And it scares me when I see this. I'm thankful for God's grace and God's mercy. But they have no idea. It's almost like Jesus when he was being nailed to the cross. It's like, look, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But they're opposing the Lord. And so thankfully the Lord is the one that's in control.
All right. In our growing anti-Semitism category, we go to All Israel News dated October 29th for an article about Tucker Carlson, where he is calling Christian Zionism a brain virus and heresy during an interview with an avowed anti-Semite.
Wow, this is so... You know, Tucker Carlson now is another one that has just seemingly gone 180 degrees the other direction. Now, maybe he's always felt this way. He seemed to be on target years ago. He was very popular in the conservative movement, very popular in his viewpoints.
Needed to gain the popularity first.
Greg, either that or he totally turned and changed. I don't know which it is, but he has gone off the deep end here. We'll talk about who the Christian Zionism, but Zionists, first of all, Zionism just means that you believe in the land of Israel and God's promise to the nation of Israel. That's Zion, is Israel. Zion, Mount Zion is there in Jerusalem. So when you say Christian Zionist, you're saying somebody who believes in God's promises to the nation of Israel, to the land, and to Jerusalem. Yes, I believe that very much, and Christians do, so I guess that would include everybody. But apparently, that doesn't include many people who call themselves Christians, like Tucker Carlson. But again, he's just gone off the deep end. Let's look at this and talk about this. The Bible says there'll be apostates in the last days. And indeed, this means somebody that's falling away from the faith. I don't know if he was ever in the faith. Either way, it's not going to fly. Let me read some of this. Former Fox News host and analyst Tucker Carlson continued his descent into rank anti-Semitism on Tuesday, publishing an interview with far-right podcaster Nick Fuentes, who has engaged in open Holocaust denial and praised Hitler in the past. That's you can do. You can do a podcast with that guy. Think about where he was, though. I mean, it's almost like he went from CNN to Fox and then went left of CNN. CNN is now is right of Tucker Carlson as far as biblically.
Yeah.
Despite former disagreements with them, Carlson and Fuentes bonded over their shared suspicion of these Jews, end quote, as well as their distaste for Christian Zionism, Greg, that's you and I and every Christian in America,
yep,
and its supporters among the Republican Party. So basically, I hate Christians, and we'll see who else he's going against here in just a moment. The self-identified lapsed Episcopalian, Carlson, lauded Fuentes for his criticism of Israel and his U.S. support for it because it's insane and it hurts us, he said. We get nothing out of it. I completely agree with you there. He went on to blast Christian Zionists, which are just Christians who believe in God's promises to Israel, who he said were, and I quote, seized by this brain virus, listing figures like Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz, John Bolton, George W. Bush, and Karl Rove. Christian, and I quote, Christian Zionists, like, what is that? I dislike them more than anybody, you know, because it's Christian heresy, and I'm offended by that as a Christian. Well, first of all, you're not a Christian.
I mean, you don't know what spirit you're of, Tucker Carlson.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know. I mean, if he doesn't understand the word of God and that God's called Israel back to the... Let me say this. Look, maybe he's a deceived Christian. Let me back that up. Maybe he's a deceived Christian. I believe that's possible. But again, all Christian Zionists understand, Zionism is simply God's promise to Israel and the land. God loves Zion. And when you take a stand against Zionism, you're taking a stand against God.
Yeah.
Listen to these verses. I want to read some verses. This is Psalm 132, verses 13 and 14. For the Lord, Yahweh is the word, has chosen Zion. There's Zionism. He has desired it for his dwelling place. He loves it. He's going to live there. Jesus is coming back to rule and reign in Zion. He says, this is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Psalm 87:1. God's foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. So then over the whole Israel, he loves Jerusalem better, Zion.
Yeah.
Micah 4:7, and the lame will make the remnant and those who were cast off a strong nation. And the Lord Yahweh will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time forth and forevermore. Zechariah 8:3, thus says the Lord, I've returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. This is speaking futuristically. And Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Isaiah 14:32, what will one answer the messengers of the nation? The Lord Yahweh has founded Zion. God founded it. It's his place he loves. It's going to be the place of his throne. It goes on and says, and the afflicted of his people find refuge in her. Here's the bottom line. God is a Zionist. If you read your Bible, you're going to see that God over and over loves Zion, wants to live in Zion, preserves Zion, has future promises. God is a Zionist. So when Tucker Carlson says, I hate Zionists, guess what he's saying?
I hate God.
He's saying, I hate God. He may not know he's saying, I hate God, but he is saying, I hate God.
Now, you were sharing before the show, for those that are inflicted with an enlarged apostate, what the remedy is, and that is taking the word of God literally.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Some surgery.
Well, that's what you were talking about earlier.
I never said that.
I'm just following your lead.
Did you know that when I mentioned that, the mic was on mute? Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Was it really?
Yeah. I wasn't going to say that on the air.
I thought it was on the air.
No, but now it is. Okay. I can't do that anymore. Never again will I try to use the mute button to say my private things to Greg. So we. Anyway, I'm sorry for the... We need to move on.
But taking the word of God literally, yes, will cure your, yes, thinking that God is done with the nation of Israel.
Yes.
That's the whole point, because apostasy is a falling away.
That's right.
So we need to fall in line, and the only way to do that is to take God's word literally.
But some of these people, like right now, Greg, like Tucker Carlson and others, I wonder, have they fallen away, or were they ever there? I mean, was he ever there? Did he ever know Christ? Does he know God now, and he's just deceived? But I mean, he right now, look, Tucker Carlson right now is being used hugely by the enemy by attacking Israel. Anybody that's attacking Israel right now, they're being used by the enemy. Because look, let me say, I want to make this statement so if people don't know us, they at least know, you know, where we're coming from. We do not stand with Israel because they're holy. We do not stand with Israel because they do everything right. They are unholy. They are unsaved. They are a stiff-necked people, as God said. They do many, many, many things that are wrong. But God said, regardless of what they do, I have given them unconditional promises that I will keep all the way till the end. Genesis 15 as well as other places, and Genesis 12 and other places. And I'm not going to break that promise. It doesn't matter what they do. So we as Christians stand with the nation of Israel because God's standing with them, because we know what their future is going to be. And so because of that, we stand with them in that place. So understand when I say we're standing with them, why? So when people come out and fight against the nation of Israel, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean they can't be saved. So I want to be careful on that. But I will say this, you're not in tune at all with the Spirit of God or the Word of God, because God says, I've made these promises, I'm going to keep these promises. And God says, in the last days, I'm going to bring them back, reestablish them, pour out my Spirit, rebuild the third temple. God's bringing them back. God won't rebuild the third temple, the Antichrist will, but God is bringing them back to the land. They're talking about building their third temple. Everything God said would happen is happening. It's time for us as Christians to wake up and stop listening to Tucker Carlson. He's just so far gone. I mean, I think he's just gone off the deep end. I just have to say what I believe. There it is.
All right, we've got one article this week for pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. And this comes from AccuWeather.com, dated October 28th. Of course, there's probably more information out now than there was when this article was released. But total devastation. Hurricane Melissa leaves a trail of destruction and flooding in Jamaica.
Yes, and we need to be praying for the people of Jamaica. Hopefully you guys were. I know I was praying that they would be okay. Again, this massive Category 5 hurricane that hit there in Greg, 185-mile-an-hour winds. I can't even imagine. I was in a tropical storm in Florida one time with 70. And I remember going,
and you thought it was the end of the world.
Oh, yeah. It was between 60 and 70. Yeah. I think 70 may actually start hurricane. So it was below hurricane. It may have been like in the 60s. But whatever it was tropical storm, and it was freaky. It was like, you'd hear, oh, the sound of the wind and seeing the trees, like, this is creepy, and this isn't even a hurricane. I can't imagine 185-mile-an-hour winds, over 100 more than what I experienced there. And the bottom line is, why did I want this article mentioned? Because you're going to see more of this. Romans 8:22, the earth is groaning for the return of the Lord. This has nothing to do with the kind of car you drive. This has to do with the earth groaning in the last days. This is not a climate change issue. This is a moment, spiritual change issue, is what's happening in the world, and you're going to see more of these major storms, major, you know, volcanic eruptions, major events happening, because the earth is groaning, saying, Jesus, come back. And I say with the earth, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
All right, we're going to go to the church. And through an article from Israel 365 News, dated October 23rd, we're going to find a survey that reveals younger evangelicals are rejecting Israel's biblical role because replacement theology is making a comeback.
Well, Satan is being very successful in driving the next generation away from God by getting them out of the Word of God and understanding the Word of God. And this is where, as a pastor, my passion rises. Let me say this. First of all, replacement theology for our listeners. It means that God has replaced Israel with the church. That's what it basically is. So everywhere you read in the New Testament where it says Israel, just take that out, scribble it out, and put the church, which is crazy because that means all the curses that are going to be on them, the Great Tribulation, goes on the church. I mean, if you follow that through, you're going to find it's a dead-end road. But what's happening is the Bible says in the last days that Satan will turn the entire world against the Jews. Again, those of you that don't believe prophecy, it's happening right now. He's turning the entire world away from the Jews and turning them to hate them. So exactly what God said would happen is taking place. And they're saying, we've replaced them because they rejected the Lord 2,000 years ago through the cross, that now God's done with them. Well, let me say this. Listen, if that was what it took to get God to again replace them, why didn't God replace them a bunch of times before that? What about all the other times they rejected God? They turned from God. They rebelled against God. God judged them and took them to Babylon because they rebelled against him and rejected him. If you're trying to use that argument, it doesn't stand up to theological muster or, you know, expositional muster, because this isn't the first time. So, and first of all, if that had happened again, God wouldn't be keeping his promises to the nation of Israel in the last days. We are not the nation of Israel. The church is the church. The nation of Israel is the nation of Israel, and we've got to get back to teaching the Word of God line by line, verse by verse, from Genesis to Revelation, so that the next generation knows this. And that's why we're, again, pouring so much into our kids' ministry. Anyway, let me read some of this. Evangelical Christians under the age of 35 are significantly less likely than their elders to believe that Jewish people are God's chosen people and are more inclined to embrace replacement theology, according to a newly released survey by Infinity Concepts and Gray Matter Research. The findings reveal a growing generational divide in Christian theology concerning the Jewish people and the state of Israel. While nearly half of American evangelicals, overall 49%, affirmed that the Jews remain God's treasured and chosen nation, only 29% of younger evangelicals share that conviction. Among those over 55, belief in Jewish chosenness remains strong and nearly unchanged since the last survey in 2021. So why? Because this generation had the Word of God. This next generation doesn't. Again, I know there's church, don't get me wrong, but rather than teaching all of it, we're teaching portions of it. At the same time, support for replacement theology, the doctrine of claiming that the church has supplanted Israel in God's plan, is far higher among younger evangelicals than among their parents and grandparents. Older believers overwhelmingly reject the idea, seeing it as incompatible with the plain words of Scripture. The Bible clearly says Israel. God's not playing games with us. By the way, and I'll finish reading this. By the way, now let me finish reading, then we'll talk about that. The report underscores the decisive influence of church leadership. Among evangelicals who regularly hear their pastors affirm that Jewish people remain chosen by God, 71% hold that belief. Among those who never hear such teaching, only 12%. The message is clear. When pastors teach the Bible, the Word of God, and the promises literally, their congregations retain a strong attachment to Israel. When the pulpit falls silent, faith in the covenant fades. It's a covenant. Let me say this now. Why? They're teaching the Bible literally because that's what it says. And you say, yeah, well, you can't take it literal. Let me give you just a basic argument about this whole thing about whether the Bible should be taken literal or symbolic. If you take the Bible any other way but literal, it can mean a gazillion different things. If you go literal, it means one thing, what it says. If you go non-literal, it can mean whoever the best talker is in the group, whoever's got the most influence, whatever viewpoint they're coming from. You can literally have just myriads. In other words, here's the bottom line. You could never really know what the Word of God said. Everybody would stay confused all the time. If you brought everybody together with all their opinions, do you think God gave us His Word, handed us a book, and said, now, I'll just be confused now for the rest of eternity until I come back. Just be confused. And no, God's not the author of confusion. Satan is. So what does he do? Don't take it literally. It can't mean what he said. So because of that, it's got to be symbolized. It's got to be allegorized. No, it's got to be believed as literal as God said it. And that's the only way the church is going to stay on target. And that's the reason the church now no longer is on target.
All right. We're going to come down for some good news. An article here, Christian Post, at least I hope it's good news.
Yes.
This is dated October 27th. Samaritan's Purse airlifts 100,000 pounds of aid to Gaza. Now, before you read this, Pastor Mark, we've talked ad nauseum over probably the last year or so.
Yeah.
About all of the aid that's gone into Gaza that's been ripped off by the terrorists.
By Hamas.
My concern is, and maybe you can speak to this, how is this aid going to be treated any differently? And so how is this good news in the end?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. They don't give the details. But here's the thing, Greg. Because of this peace agreement and the fact that they've now been squelched on all sides,
okay,
it's probably easier now to pick certain locations to really get food to people. That would be my guess.
Fair enough.
Because notice this. He didn't do anything until after this happened.
Right.
You didn't hear about Samaritan's Purse going until this.
So
I believe he's probably going, he realizes, I can't get it to him. Now that he can get it to him, knowing Franklin Graham and his, you know, being a godly man that he is, he found a way to get it to him, and that's why this is happening. Evangelical relief organization Samaritan's Purse on Saturday delivered over 100,000 pounds of relief supplies to Gaza in its new 767 cargo plane. The aid included food, blankets, solar lights for civilians affected by 2 years of devastating conflict. The flight marked the first official mission of its newly acquired aircraft, which carried more than 290,000 packets of ready-to-use supplemental food, along with thousands of solar lights and blankets intended for women and children in Gaza. They said in a statement to the Christian Post. And I quote, "This plane is just a tool that God can use to help save lives," said Franklin Graham. The 767 is carrying 105,000 pounds of food, blankets, and solar lights for Gaza. Most of Gaza is absolutely devastated. This war has affected the lives of millions of people. We want them to know that God hasn't forgotten. So he's trying to reach them with the gospel. We are also offering to send one of our emergency field hospitals if needed. In addition to its operations in Gaza, Samaritan's Purse has undertaken construction projects in Israel. These include the building of 2 emergency medical stations, 9 community centers equipped with bomb shelters, and an equine therapy center for children who have experienced trauma. So they're going in and doing all kinds of ministry. And remember, their goal is go in there and love them and then share Jesus Christ. And what a great ministry. They've done that for so many years. Here's Operation Christmas Child coming up, but they do this all over the world. It's interesting. He never was really the evangelist that Billy Graham was, but who is? I mean, okay, God raises up a man like that once every, you know, probably 100 years or something, but either way, but he's been a he is a great evangelist, and he's even been a greater advocate in something that his dad never did in these kind of aids that he's bringing in, things that he's bringing to all these nations. So what a blessing Franklin Graham is. Continue to pray for them and pray for Samaritan's Purse. And even as he brings the good news and the message of Jesus, we do that each week right here on 101.1, as well as Signs of the Times. And once again, I want to offer that to you as we're listening. I don't always do this, but I like to try to do it. Look, if you've been listening today and God has opened your eyes for the first time, you've never believed the Word of God was true. Maybe you never believed it literally. Maybe you, whatever held you back. For whatever reason, God opened your eyes. Believe Jesus died for you on the cross, spilled his blood, ask his forgiveness, tell him you believe that, give your life to him, and the Bible says you will be born again. You can come to Jesus now by praying that prayer, repenting of sin, turning yourself over to him, and be a part of the kingdom of God.
Pastor Mark, thank you. Folks, thank you for listening. Make sure to come back next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times.
WIAM LP
101.1 FM. Not